So this is the fifth session, no, the fifth phone call in session 12. So we have exactly one more after this, and I apologize again for the fact that it's been kind of broken up into little parts, and apologize as well for the late start today, but here we are. So what I am interested in exploring today is, in a sense, a kind of a simplicity in what we are doing. You may not have noticed or recall that at the very end of the last session, before we took this, what was it, 3-week break, I said something like, okay, when we come back, we'll see if we can go out with a bang. And as soon as I said that, I thought, that's not right. Going out with a bang is not the TSK approach. And so I've been thinking about that for the last 3 weeks, off and on. And I want to say something about why that's not the right approach, and then say something about what is the right approach, which, as I said a minute ago, has to do with a certain kind of simplicity, I think. So the thing about TSK, as you all know, is that we're not trying to get somewhere else. You know, we're not trying to arrive at some different state which represents great knowledge or great time or great space. What we're interested in is activating the qualities of time and space and knowledge in our ordinary activity. And that, in a nutshell, that's why it struck me that talking about going out with a bang is really wrong. Really what we would like to do is discover the simplicity, you might say, of the TSK vision. We looked at that a little bit last week, and it came up in your comments too, looking on the web, and I mentioned it in the orientation, this very nice phrase in Dynamics, which was in the reading for the last session, where Rinpoche says, he talks about simplicity. He says, can we open a cosmology of light, which certainly doesn't sound simple. But then he says, the discipline that could lead to such lightness, I'm on page 211, the discipline of dynamics, that could lead to such lightness is a simple one. It starts with fully inhabiting the situation we find ourselves in. Fully inhabiting the situation we find ourselves in. But a very, very simple instruction. Of course, you could say, well, you know, easier said than done. We don't know so well how to inhabit our situation. But in fact, Rinpoche gives a lot of guidance. A number of you, I noticed in looking at the comments on the web, really found the last reading to be very helpful in terms of opening to light and finding the light within the darkness, which in a way is what I want to be emphasizing. If we inhabit the situation we find ourselves in, and there is a certain kind of gravity, a certain kind of heaviness, a certain kind of darkness, as Rinpoche says in that reading, we don't try to go somewhere else, you know, we don't go out with a bang. We find within our situation, within our circumstance, within that darkness, within that heaviness, the vision, the TSK vision, which we have been aiming, you could say, at activating. So we find ourselves, we inhabit the situation we find ourselves in, and that means we find ourselves. And we find ourselves in that situation, and the link, you know, within any situation, you could say, the access to the TSK vision is awareness. Just a kind of a complete inhabiting, a complete being there. And I'm still working for a minute. We're going to move over to the TSK reading, but I'm still working with the dynamics reading that we had for last time. Rinpoche says, what's happened is that the gravity of thinking pulls us down. He says, in the same paragraph where he talks about inhabiting the situation we find ourselves in, he says, we have buried the lightness of awareness. We have pulled it down to earth through the gravity of thought and conditioning, but we can do otherwise. We acknowledge this possibility in the moment we confront the darkness in our lives. So we don't try to go somewhere else. We stay within the darkness, because within that darkness there is still clarity. You know, being aware of darkness, you could say, is itself a kind of clarity. So on the one hand we have the gravity of thinking, and on the other hand we have the lightness of awareness. And the transition, you could say, that we're interested in is the transition from that heaviness or gravity of thinking to the lightness of awareness. And we find that everywhere. So let me turn now to a passage from the TSK reading, not right at the beginning, but it's one of these phrases which, when you think about it, is very illuminating. And that's on page 298. Rinpoche says, at the very top of the page, he says, when we see in the way that he's been describing, when we see in this way, awareness is refreshed and clarified. All appearance contributes to opening awareness, invigorating it, exposing its incisive character. So within appearance, within the darkness that we may experience, we find this lightness of awareness which has been freed from the gravity of thinking. Now, one of the key things about TSK, and of course we've talked about this again and again, is that that doesn't mean that we stop thinking. It means that we find the quality of awareness within every aspect of our experience, and that includes thinking, right? We don't commit ourselves to the identities, to the conditions that thinking names for us, that thinking leads us to. Instead, within whatever appears, we discover, we open to awareness. So, I want to make kind of a simple point and then do an even simpler practice. The simple point is that there's something very practical and immediate here. Rinpoche says we start with darkness, and I'm going back to dynamics again. He says, within the darkness, still on page 211, there are traces of clarity. And if we touch that clarity, we can refuse the old answers and the views that are thrust upon us. Right? We can see through obstacles. We can find a kind of a purity, he says. We can activate transparency, we can activate resolve, we can activate indestructibility. Now the simple point that I want to make is that this is a very practical kind of advice. In kind of reflecting this morning in preparation for the class, I was thinking of a particular issue I have right now, a kind of a practical problem, trying to figure out how to make something work. And I thought, well, here is an approach that we can really use to find within the confusion, within the darkness, within the pre-established definitions, to find within all of that the lightness of awareness, to let appearance lead us into that. And so there's something very immediate and practical there. And of course, in TSK, we always face this question that comes up about, you know, as Rinpoche says on in Dynamics, I think it's on page 212, he says, well, when we talk about the lightness of awareness, that just sounds like words. What does that have to do with our real experience? And the answer to that is that it has everything to do with our immediate experience, because that lightness is available within our immediate experience. And so you could think of this as a kind of practical guidance, and you might want to, and I'm sure you do, you know, again, looking at your comments, I've seen how people have been applying what we're reading, which is great. I really appreciate that. But within any situation, that lightness of awareness is available. Now, if you think of it as my problem, my situation, this thing that I have to solve, this difficulty that I have to overcome, then you're already turning away from awareness, right? Because you're claiming ownership, you're accepting the structures that thinking has imposed, and that's not really going to be so helpful. A much better way is to look at timing. And Rinpoche talks in this chapter from TSK, he talks about the commanding presence of time. And tuning into that instead of to our usual structures, you know, tuning in, you might say, to the dynamic of time. That's the approach that we want to be able to take. So on page 294 of the reading, Rinpoche says, he raises the question, why, because he's now talking about being, which is something we really haven't talked about before in a very extensive way. But at the end of TSK, he talks about time, space, and knowledge as facets of being. And he says, so why just these three? Why aren't there any others? And he says, if you need an answer, he says, the way to find that answer is simply to appreciate being. And he gives a very quick summary, which I think is quite lovely and a great guide. The openness of space, this is on the top of page 294, three lines down. The openness of space, the lively, expressive quality of time, the clarity of knowledge are being. So if we are open and alive and expressive and clear, or if we discover those aspects in our experience, then we are in fact discovering being. Right? Being, he says, is not something else behind these three. That's what it is. We don't need to try to come up with some explanation. We just want to explore that in our own experience. So the practice that that I thought we could do with this is, again, very simple. I'm kind of coming back to this after a few weeks away, I suppose. I'm just really struck by the idea that we want to keep it very simple. So he gives a very specific, very simple practice, something you could introduce. If you were teaching a class on TSK, you could introduce this on day one, and people would say, oh, I understand that, that's easy. They might say that. So the practice that I have in mind, and it's almost funny that that it's so simple, is on page 299 of the reading. So let's take a little bit of a look. He says, being is ever present. This is the bottom of 298. And then he says, we've been tricking ourselves. We've warped our priorities. We've wasted our resources. We've tried to come up with answers to problems, which just leads us to think that we have a problem and we commit ourselves to the problem. All of that is, the situation that we create for ourselves by not really acknowledging our own being. You could say not acknowledging the openness of space, the aliveness of time, the clarity of knowledge. And he says, now, this is about 12 lines down, now on 299, now after realizing the extent to which we've been hampering ourselves, and also realizing the extent of what is at stake, we must encourage ourselves, appreciating and giving free rein to our inner potential. We must lift our heads, stretch, and look up while drawing in deep breaths. So is that a metaphor? Is that saying, well, we just have to kind of awaken to our own experience, our own aliveness? Well, yes. But it's also a very specific practice instruction. So I'd like to have us just do that practice. But let's do it with a kind of an awareness. You know, we've come so far in the course. We've explored so many different things, so many different approaches, you might say, to the openness of space and the aliveness of time and the clarity of knowledge. We've come at that in so many different ways that if we think to ourselves, well, I have to keep all that in mind somehow, we can't do it. You know, there's just too much going on. One of the characteristics of the TSK vision is that it keeps, excuse me, it keeps escaping our grasp. It's beyond something we can take hold of. And in fact, we don't need to take hold of it. But what we can do, based on the inquiry that we've been involved in for all these many months, is simply let that sense of openness and possibility and aliveness and creativity and clarity, let that inform us from moment to moment. And then with that in mind, let's do this practice just for a couple of minutes, right? It's a very simple practice. We lift our heads, we stretch, we look up, and we draw in deep breaths. That's it. Simplest exercise in all the TSK books, I think. We lift our heads, we stretch, and we look up while drawing in deep breaths. So, you know, let yourself settle into your experience for a moment, for a minute or so. Whatever's going on, maybe there's some kind of difficulty, maybe there's some kind of appreciation, maybe there's some sense of what's going on for you right now. But in the middle of your experience, whatever it is, lift your head, stretch, look up, draw in deep breath. See where that leads you. See how that lets you expand on experience. So that's the practice right now. As I say, the simplest practice in all the DSK books. Let's do that. Okay? A couple of minutes. Okay, so do you have any comments about that? It's it's an opportunity to maybe share something. As I say, we're keeping it simple. What do you think? Okay, I'm going to go back in. I'm actually not in the chat box, so let me go in there. Too simple to say anything? Maybe just appreciation? That's okay too. Okay, David says, look up and draw in deep breaths. It clears the head. It opens space. It makes room for a fresh perspective. Whatever arises has a pristine feel, like a breath of fresh air. The sun, dappled leaves seem particularly green, bright. My feelings well up to greet the colors. Yeah, a nice description. And, you know, you might say, well, sure. You know, breathe deeply, look up, relax, stretch. Of course, very nice, very positive. What does that have to do, though, with the TSK vision? Karin says something similar here, feeling alive, appreciating breathing, being. And that's maybe a nice way in. Thank you, Karin. We're talking about being. We're talking about our own being. And the fact is, as Rinpoche says here, that we have cut ourselves off from our own being. Right? We've been tricking ourselves. There's this treasure, this nectar, Rinpoche says, it's always been there. And we convince ourselves that it's not available. We convince ourselves that we have to do something special, that we have to go to great lengths, that we have to be some sort of a big bang, as I said. You know, something kind of has to explode. But no, it's just very natural. If we just stop insisting on the opposite, then this is available. Eliana, I think in the same vein, says, taking a deep breath and opening space to relax. I can feel the sensations of my body more vivid and the voice of the thoughts fading away. This relaxation expands awareness to include the inner part of experience. And I'm able to watch the body and mind. Yeah. Yeah, there's a kind of a natural watching. I'm always a little concerned about the idea of watching our experience because it makes it sound like there's a distance. And we're definitely talking about no distance here. We're talking about being in a kind of immediate openness to being. So Ken says, I feel that if a concern showed up, I would respond with, let's see. That's good. I said before, there's something very practical and immediate in this sense of going back to the language that we looked at in dynamics, this sense of finding the clarity or the lightness within darkness, right? But if you turn it into a problem, I've got a problem I have to solve, then you've already turned away from the lightness. But if something shows up, if a concern shows up, you look for the lightness, the clarity within that concern. So what Ken says is you know, very, very right, very simple. Let's see. Something shows up, there's a concern. Let's see what's going on. Let's simply allow being. Not trying to do anything, but also not closing down. So Hayward says it opens the position and perceptions of the self. Yeah, somewhere in this chapter, I don't remember where right now, Rinpoche talks about, you know, how we can't really do this if we're doing it from the perspective of the self. We have to be able to go to a different level. I guess one place is on page 304, just looking at my notes here, Rinpoche talks about going beyond an ownership level. Okay, sorry for the noise outside. I have a window open, which I don't usually do, but it's very hot here today. Okay, and Klaus goes in that same direction, talking about, you know, Hayward said opening the position and perceptions of the self. Klaus said there's an important transition from my being, I think, to being. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. We don't need to go to a model where I'm the one who knows, I'm the one who experiences, I'm the one who has a past and present and future, I'm the one who's taken a position. Those are all our ordinary ways. Here, we're just letting being be. We're being our being. You know? So, I guess I can say again that it sounds very simple. It is very simple. And yet we don't ordinarily allow ourselves that simplicity. You could talk about the dance of being. That's not a phrase that occurs in this chapter, but it's in Dynamics, and it's also so you can find that. You could do a search for the word dance if you like. I did that. And mostly that image is used in Dynamics, but if you take a look, for instance, here on page 300 of the reading, Rinpoche says, he talks about the aliveness. He doesn't use the word dance. He says, we are all, this is about five lines down, we are all being newly born. We are all being newly born within space and time, second by second. We don't have to worry about being creatures or products. We don't have to worry about being the one who knows. There's a kind of simple aliveness. So I appreciate the comments that people have made on that practice. It's almost too simple to comment on, right? But it's also deeply profound. So I come to that word by looking at John's comment. He says, I get a sense that being is so profound that it transcends the life or death level. Yeah, that seems right. Certainly transcends the sense of my being, as Klaus said. And then the question of life or death just doesn't seem to have the same weight. Now, I don't want to make that sound too easy or too simple, but at least to touch on that possibility that's there. So we don't have to engage the world through the position and perceptions of the self, to quote Hayward. We don't have to make sense of the world through our concepts, our naming, through our stories. I think in a way the distinction is very clear now. You know, we've been doing this for quite some time. And I think that I think we have a sense of how we ordinarily engage our experience, and how that limits us. And here we get the sense that there's another way, and that other way has to do with being, and it's very simple and very profound. And it's a kind of a relaxation, as Eliana says, right? There's an expansion of awareness in which nothing is left out. Okay, so let's take a look at the last part of the reading for today. It's the very last part of the TSK book, the very closing pages. And we did work with this a little in the retreat, for those of you who were on the retreat. But Rinpoche makes this very interesting move at the very end of the first TSK book. He says, when we touch being, and you could say, when we let go of our own being, then we very naturally open up to the presence of others. Klaus makes another comment, which I will share. He says, it's amazing that the TSK vision has to come to us, looking quite difficult, to show us that it's all not complicated at all. Very true. Very true. It's all very simple, right? So why do we have to say all this? Why does Rinpoche have to come up with all these challenging ways of presenting things? Because we have made a commitment. We've made a commitment to making it complicated or to making it limited, and we have to undo that commitment. And when we do, then we find the lightness of this way of being, and it's not complicated. Okay. So, in that way of being, when we are in touch with being, then we are naturally connected. This is what Rinpoche explores in the last few pages of the first TSK book. We're naturally connected and engaged with others. Right? And this is where he introduces the phrase that people like and know from TSK, one point is all points. Because being is being, right? It's not my being, it's not anybody else's being, it's not, there's no separation. Being is being. And Ken says, vision is us too. That's right, being and vision and awareness, and you could say clarity and aliveness and openness, all of those are active. We're not separate from any of that, and the very sense that we have our own identity maybe is misleading. You know? So it's not very complicated. Right? And Rupert makes a couple of very interesting points here. One is he says you know, we are at a moment in time, at a moment in history, where it kind of makes sense to talk about this in first-level terms because we really see how we're all interdependent. Rinpoche wrote this, of course, more than 30 years ago, actually. Is that right? 2000? Yeah, more than 30 years ago. But if anything, it's more true now. Just on a very kind of pragmatic, down-to-earth level, we're much more aware of how interconnected we are with each other on so many levels, and I don't think I'll try to give any examples because we all can point to many examples. I typically look at world news, you could say, or global developments, but there are many places to look and many ways to look, and I leave that up to you. But Rinpoche says, you know, we're in a position to appreciate that, just in terms of our ordinary knowledge. And since that's so, that seems to be a good place to start. Yeah. Michael has a way here of trying to connect this, so let's look at this. Maybe I shouldn't say trying, Michael. Michael has a way of connecting this. He says, I wonder if the uniqueness of time, of space, and of knowledge from one another, while all present as being, is similar to the relationship of our individual human being with that greater being. Perhaps just as time, space, and knowledge don't mix into one another, we are most ourselves when we are completely ourselves, open, alive, present, dynamic, but grounded in our own presence in the world. Yeah, I think that's a very nice way of putting it. I think we're at a point now where, you know, if we all share, I mean, if we look inside for the things that we value the most or the things that we feel we understand the most clearly or the most deeply, then I think those will be ways into the vision, and the TSK vision will be a way of illuminating those possibilities. So I was kind of struck that in the comments on the website for this past week, people were quoting a lot of other things, other books, or quoting each other. And I think that's fine. You know, that's good. Because we are very, we can draw on our best knowledge. You know? And we can draw on our interactions with each other. And we can see in those and see in each moment of that interaction, we can see the power and the dynamic of the TSK vision at work. So that kind of ties into the second thing that Rinpoche says here that I think is very interesting. It's another theme that works itself out in these few pages. He says, nowadays, people tend to criticize, let's say, traditional approaches which try to lift us out of our own being. So he talks about democracy, about religion, let's see the exact page right now. Anyway, he talks about all of these kind of traditional answers to saying, yes, we are more than our own limited experience. We can connect with the divine. We can connect with a sense of unity with all beings. What he says is that in one way that's limiting. And of course, from a TSK perspective, he'd say it's limiting in the sense that we don't. It's not helpful to try to create some other place, some other state that we want to arrive at. And we've talked about that in many times, so I don't need to say too much about it right now, I don't think. But he also says that the reason that that's problematic is because we tend to understand it in first level terms. We talk about, let's say, the divine or heaven, to use a religious language for a moment. And we say, okay, that's not so helpful because it makes us turn away from our being and towards some other state that we want to arrive at. But what he says here, and I think it's really interesting, is he says, if you can understand on a different level, then you know, if you don't understand on this first level of experience, where arriving at some transcendent realm means leaving behind our ordinary being, if we understand at a second or third level, then we have a possibility, right? He says you can't really discuss those kinds of things in terms of our ordinary experience. Right? He says on 296 towards the top, he says conventional perspectives are not equipped to explain what ordinary reality is unless various basic terms are simply accepted without challenge. And that, of course, we're not, you know, is that's not the TSK way, let's say. He says, we need our ordinary, our usual inability to ground religious terms and our inability to account for the fundamental significance of our ordinary reality are closely related. Both need great knowledge for their resolution. And then he says, once we've opened to this knowledge, if we wish to express what is encountered as being, or God, or reality, or oneness, then such terms are satisfactorily grounded and are profoundly significant. So you might say those are second-level terms. He doesn't exactly say that, so maybe I'm saying too much. But what he's pointing to is that the language we use can be helpful. After all, TSK is just a whole bunch of words. I mean, the books are, right? Many, many images, many, many ideas, many, many practices and expressions. And you could kind of put them next to other more traditional forms of expression, such as religion, religious forms of expression. And you could say they all have a certain power. But if you don't understand the kind of underlying dimension in which we just return to our own being with the kind of simplicity we've been exploring, then it's misleading. You know, so he also talks in this context about the critique of traditional religious approaches. And this is on page 295. He talks about atheism and skepticism and physical science and philosophy of language and psychology. Those are all, what unites all of those in this context is that those are all approaches that question the idea of something that's transcendent, that's something that goes beyond our ordinary being. And he says, yes, it's right to question those, but not because they're wrong exactly, but because we don't understand what they're pointing to. What they're pointing to is this deeper knowledge of being. And if we accept them on that level, then we can work with those approaches. And that's very important because you know, TSK, the vision, has the possibility for illuminating ordinary ways of trying to go beyond our own limited being. It illuminates them, and at the same time it points out that if we take them at their own level, if we accept them as being the truth of the matter, then they set up their own limitations. So the critique is right, but you can also go beyond the critique and then return to a kind of appreciation for traditional forms of knowledge or traditional values. So you don't want to turn being into a thing, you don't want to turn it into a hidden ultimate. Here I am, I'm still looking on page 295 of TSK. You don't want to try to negate anything or leave something behind. It's just that you need to understand the level at which that kind of discussion is taking place. And ultimately what that means is you need to connect with your own being. And to come back to what we were talking about at the beginning, you can find that in the clarity within darkness, you can find it within the lightness that undermines the gravity of thinking. These are all the things that Rinpoche is pointing towards, and I think it's a very beautiful, very encompassing vision. So we'll just stop there. I say that without enough energy, it seems to me, but I'm trying to smile my way into the truth of it, because it strikes me as very true. So, for all of you, let's go ahead and explore that in the week to come. And, of course, we're going to be moving into a period beyond the end of the course. What could that possibly mean? What will we possibly do? Well, we'll talk about that a little next week. Okay, we'll stop there for today.